Welcome to A Voice of the People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, another way that you can listen to WWGH and the other programs that we have to offer you, All Talk Radio, is by downloading free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. Or if you would like to make comments or ask any questions while we are live on the air, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street here, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. This took place last Saturday, the 10th. So now you will have to wait until the second Saturday of October. This happens every month, a free produce market. Location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Please provide your state ID or your driver's license and show up and provide the number of people in your family. I hear they give away great varieties of produce, and I think you get a lot of it. And someone wanted to give a shout out to them yesterday, so I'm giving out this shout out to Logos Christian Ministries. Also, we have Inspect Ohio, your one call home inspection company with real estate needs for you with 25 years of experience. That telephone number 740-262-0939, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Thank you, all of you who support A Voice of a People, and those of you who listen regularly, and hello to all of you newcomers today. I'd like to start the program out with a thought for today, and this is called Big Heart. Do not become discouraged in the face of adversity. Understand that the bigger the heart, the bigger the obstacles it is acts to accommodate. That's a big one, isn't it? My counterpart and guest today, Joe.
How long have I been here?
Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. He always gives me a hard time anyway.
Yes, I do.
How are you today, Jeff?
We give each other ours.
Yeah, I guess we do, don't we?
Yeah. Well, you have to. I mean, you have to stir the pot.
Yeah, I can't put it all on you. I guess not, huh? So how you been?
I've been just fine. Anything particular you want to talk about?
Expressions of the Last Days, of course. Doomsday,
yeah,
Prophet.
That's right, absolutely.
All right, there's a lot going on.
I was sitting around today at the computer and yesterday, and for some odd reason, I felt like I wanted to go back in time to 2010 when that girl at SeaWorld was killed by the crazy orca.
Oh, yeah. The whale.
Yeah. And one thing I really admire about those whales is their intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about that quite a bit in all kinds of documentaries and stuff. So of course, mankind has got to get in there and try to use them for profit and stuff. And then there's serious consequences,
Oh, okay.
Well, an intelligent creature is not going to like captivity. They haven't done anything to deserve that, One of the guys that he's like a SeaWorld or a, what would you call it? He's a biologist. what do they call those people that are biologists for CPC? Well, anyways.
I don't know what that terminology is. I don't know.
He said that.
Is that a botanist? That's a plant, isn't it? Botany, yeah, that's plants. Okay. Anyone know the answer to that question? Please call 740-383-9944. What do they call people that deal with animals, right? Or fish?
Ocean. Animals. An ocean biologist, I guess.
Okay.
Oceanographer, whatever.
Okay, all right.
He was hired by SeaWorld to be involved in watching, you know, taking care of the orcas and stuff. And he said it was just an atrocity the way they treated those whales.
Wow.
He said they drugged them all the time. In other words, the whales weren't really that friendly. They drugged them so they'd be friendly.
I believe that.
Yeah. Because the orcas were very intelligent animals, and intelligent animals don't like being captive.
Yeah.
You know, being prisoners. And look what they did. They rode on their backs, they rode on their chest, they stood up on their nose, they gave them orders all the time, you know, and try to make them do, this particular orca, he was the one of them that would have been a leader amongst the orcas. They're very social.
Oh, really?
And they plan everything. When they're going to attack something, they plan it.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists said that you could tell they plan it. Mm-hmm. You just tell by the way they come in from one side and then the other and all this stuff. And they said that, I don't know why. Now, they have never attacked a human being, but they did attack a schooner. That is a big sailboat one time. Now, orcas won't attack humans, so somebody on that schooner must have been aggravating them, because then they will attack. Okay. I mean, how would you feel, you know? How do you feel when somebody aggravates you?
Eventually I get very upset about it, yes.
You gotta.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you won't get them off of you.
True.
Okay, so I was thinking about that, how human beings will, and we were talking about the banking system failing.
Yeah, that was last week.
Going into serious failure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we'll eventually fail. And even President Trump said we're headed towards economic collapse because of the debt.
And that's also a doomsday or reality, possibly, for end times, yes.
Right. And I believe that is the very beginning of the tribulation. So we're going to wake up one morning and the banks have all collapsed.
Whoa.
Which means that there will be nothing, you know. There will be nothing moving, no place to park. And then we'll probably have riots. You know, people blaming each other, especially the government. But the government can't do anything because they don't have any money either. You know, they'll be just, everybody will be the same, very poor. And they'll probably still, if there's any broadcasting still done, they'll probably get on radio and TV and say, oh, no, this is only temporary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, we think that.
About 7 years.
Right.
Okay, so
you say 7 years to be exact, right?
Well, yeah, or so.
According to the word of God, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that he was going to shorten the tribulation, though. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So, our society is becoming unjust. It is allowing, and our pastor this Sunday said that they were allowing drag queens into some library. Like in Chicago or something. What's happening is you know, you sin and you sin and you sin. Your heart gets hard, your mind gets hard, and you become what they say is reprobate. You get to the point where you don't care if God loves you anymore. You don't care if there is a God. Just do whatever you want. And that's what brings eternal condemnation. People is because God tries to reach a person, and eventually he just says, okay, if that's what you want, he just turns you over to your sin, and that's very, very scary.
Yeah, it is.
I remember one time I was having a conversation with some of my relatives, some niece and nephews, and I said something about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And And, you know, back when we were kids, everybody knew what Sodom and Gomorrah was. You know, we'd use it in conversation sometimes, you know. This place is getting to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. And they said, what do you mean, Sodom and Gomorrah? And they didn't have any idea what it was. So we're in a time where the Word of God is just being cast aside. It's just being cast over there in a ditch somewhere, and they just take some dirt, throw on it, and go, ha, ha, ha. They just think the Word of God is just a big joke, which is what Satan wants you to believe. You know? So, anything could happen. I mean, they've lost their common sense. You know, common sense is becoming a thing of the past, and I believe that's another reason for these mass shootings, is because they don't care. They actually think they're doing the right thing. Why else would they be doing it? You know.
Well, that's a thought.
For instance, a terrorist.
Right.
He doesn't call himself a terrorist. He calls himself a freedom fighter. Because he thinks he's
fighting. Or a justifier.
He's fighting for the right side.
Yeah.
And really, who are we to say, you know, you're all wrong about that because we're the ones that are always right.
Well, and not so much that. You're taking someone else's life, which is not yours.
Yeah.
You didn't give that life, so you don't have the right to take that life away. And that's where, you know, I feel uncomfortable about it, you know, because, you know, they said last week they had to close down Grant Middle School. And I heard George Washington, I'm not sure, I did not check the facts, but I did see breaking news just for I think it was last Thursday, just for a glimpse of a moment, I was at the hospital and I saw breaking news that two people had been arrested for walking between houses armed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they closed down the school. And I'm thinking.
Well, there is a law that says you can carry an exposed weapon.
Yeah, but these were people who were very suspectful.
Oh, okay.
They suspected them. And they were walking in between homes. Now, they're walking in between. I don't know exactly. It must have been near the schools. Had to be for them to.
Grant is the. Which one is that?
That's over the old Harding. Seminole.
Okay, Grant's
used to be
Harding.
Seminole Avenue.
Yeah.
I think it's Presidential Drive or something like that now. And, you know, like
this
people
was
say,
yesterday?
Last week. Last week, those schools were closed down. But I'm saying, okay, you have a right to carry guns, but you don't have a right to take my life.
No.
You don't have
of course
that right
not.
To take my life. Okay, you have something that
you're
fighting
for.
For
defense.
Right, you have something that you're fighting for, but I have not harmed you. I don't even know you.
Yeah.
And then you go come up and shoot me and justify what?
Well, they think America is the capitalist country. It's taken all the riches. And it's not. You know, they're wrong about a lot of things, you know. There was a guy that used to work for the CIA. He was in Iran for a long time and spied on them. And after so many years, he came back to the U.S. and he went in the CIA headquarters and said, okay, I want to see all of the files all the information that I've sent you over the years. And they said, what do you mean? They didn't have any files or electronics or anything on anything that he had sent. And he risked his life over there. So America hasn't always been this saint with the halo and everything, like sometimes we think they are. But, you know, another thing that people were complaining over in Iraq and Saudi Arabia is that those countries that have the oil were hiring Iraqis and treating them like peasants when they were out there working in the oil field, you know, because they're wealthy and the Iraqis are in Iran, those people are poor, you know. So that's enough to flame somebody up.
I want to read this. Okay. What was the biggest sin in Sodom and Gomorrah? Because a lot of people, like you said, they don't even understand that, what that was about. They've never heard of it or they're offended when you mention it. But and it says in Ezekiel 16, King James Version, verse 48 through 50, God compares Jerusalem to Sodom, saying, Sodom never did what you did and your daughters have done. He explains that the sin of Sodom was that she and her daughters were arrogant. They were overfed and unconcerned.
Yes.
Like you were saying, they don't care. Okay. Mm-hmm. They did not help the poor and the needy. They were haughty, which is high-minded. They thought more of themselves than they should, and did detestable things before me.
And you'll find that in Hosea and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And eventually, God got totally in it. And Isaiah, I'll tell you, some of the stuff you read in Hosea, you can't believe that these people are doing this stuff. But this, God is telling you, when he's speaking, he's telling you about all the horrible stuff they're doing. It's like, you can't even swallow that, you know?
Well, Hosea was commanded of God to marry a prostitute.
I know.
A lot of people may not know that. You know, people say, well, what kind of stories are in the Bible are interesting? They are interesting.
Well, they are. That is the, then that should show you that God is not a religious God.
Right. He's not about religion.
He's very alive.
Yes, he is alive.
You know, there's nothing religious about him.
And there's nothing new under the sun, Jeff. Nothing. Because they were doing these things back then. And they were punished for those things.
Well, when they got carried away to Babylon, they should have realized, you know, and it took, he said he's going to let this generation pass away in Babylon. 70 years in Babylon because of their horrifying sin. And what all were they? Well, they had sexual sin. They were worshiping idols. They were killing babies. Killing babies. That sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Like we say, there's nothing new under the sun. They may come up with a new reason, or there's more people doing it. Right. There's more people doing it. We have to also realize that sin has increased. It's on the increase. It's on the rise.
Yes.
Just doing detestable things before the Lord. And people say, well, what about the Ten Commandments? I follow them. Do not kill. Do not steal.
All right. That brings me to a
what,
point
something
where,
else.
Yes, that brings me to a point, and I want to stay on this because it's very important.
Okay.
That we talk about this.
Jeff's motors are running. Let's see what he comes up with.
Well, nothing new.
No, nothing new under the sun.
There is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus.
Okay.
A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now back then, they were under what we call, you know, this only way I know how to put it, they were under the dispensation of the law. And they were unable to keep God's commandments because they simply just didn't have the power in their hearts to overcome sin.
Right.
But God still said there are consequences of the sin, and you have to pay for those consequences. Those consequences will make you pay for the terrible sins that you've committed, you know, and they disregarded all of God's warnings.
Right, and you pay for those sins in this body.
Yeah.
Before you leave this world.
Yeah. So how homosexuality got so strong and so widespread in Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know. It just became the in thing, you know, like it is today. And people standing up and going, I'm proud that I'm gay.
It's a sign.
Yes. You know,
it's a sign.
I've seen people on shows like America's Got Talent get up there and go, the Christian church kicked me out because I'm gay. Well, they were supposed to do that because the Word of God says not to have anything to do with that type of sin.
So, do you think that if a person is in a church, and I'm sure there are many, that homosexuals do come to services, they should be given, what do you think now? I believe they should be given the way, told about the way to repent of their sins and to go the right way.
Right.
And if we kick them out of church, how do they get the... Now, that's something
that's
a lot of
Christians...
Yeah.
That's a tough subject.
Yes, it is a tough subject. So how can you help them turn...
If they are going around trying to convert people to homosexuality, mm-hmm. it's time to kick them out.
What about drug addicts?
No, we don't kick them out unless they're causing problems.
Yeah, and they convert.
They can convert, but I'm saying, you know, that is a tough subject.
It is.
Figure it out. But a lot of times people actually get saved and, you know, they feel such a strong pull back to their old sin, they go back to it. Usually, if they're hearing the Word of God, like homosexuals are hearing the Word of God every Sunday, it's going to convict them, and they're either going to get saved or they're going to leave on their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
In fact, this guy, they may not have even kicked him out. They may have just been preaching the Word of God, mm-hmm. and he became convicted and angry and left.
Because it is like, ouch.
Yeah.
Like someone slapped you in your hand or knocked you out.
Right.
With a right hook.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what the sin is.
No.
If you're caught into that and you become convicted of that, whether it's smoking, drinking, homosexuality, say I had an abortion and they're talking about it, the Word of God, do not kill, and all that kind of stuff, it should convict you. You should not be comfortable, you know, and it should give you a way to say, okay, I want to change. I want my life to change.
Right.
I don't want to come. I want to come to church. I want to hear the Word of God, but I don't always want to feel convicted when I'm here about that same thing.
Well, the way you stop being convicted is you get saved.
True.
Okay. So I'll give a homosexual that much credit. I will say, if you've never known the Lord, then, you know, it's not as bad as a person that got saved and then backslid into homosexuality for some odd reason. Because their situation is 10 times worse, you know, because they've known the power of God, they've known the Word of God, and then slid into such a horrible sin. But it does happen. Now,
yeah,
it's not to say they can't repent.
True.
But the problem is, as in 1 Peter there, the problem is when you do that, and it doesn't happen all at once, you know, it's over a long period of time usually that somebody falls into it.
Yeah.
Some nasty sin. Their heart becomes hard. Their mind becomes hard.
Right.
Now, God will do things. He'll, like, maybe you had a good friend that was a Christian, and they're praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly being bombarded by, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and da-da-da-da-da,
mm-hmm.
you know, on and on it goes, you know. And I remember one time I got caught up in some sin, and everything kept going wrong. The furnace broke down. The car broke down. You know?
And you attribute it to that, the bad thing you were doing that you shouldn't have been doing, right?
God allowed that stuff to happen because he's chastising you, trying to get you back on the right path again. And it did over a period of time. He encouraged me to come back, and I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it just depends on how much you want truth, you know, in your life.
How
much you want the will of God in your life.
I do understand this, and I do hear this. I don't consider this sin. I consider that I was born this way, and I'm just living my life as I came into this world. Now, the thing that really touched me one time, not too long ago, was the fact we're all born in sin.
Yeah.
We're all born in sin. So can we specifically say that a person was not born that way? No, I don't think we can. Doesn't mean they have to stay there, though, right?
Well, we're born into sin, and then we must be born again of the
right.
Spirit.
Right, there you go.
So first of all, here we go. We got saved,
mm-hmm.
but they say, well, yeah, but, you know, I have those tendencies. Well, we have all kinds of tendencies.
Bad tendencies.
Right.
To go the wrong way.
Go down to the beach and all those girls in bikinis. Well, I've got a tendency there.
I bet you do.
You know?
Yes. And you're not alone.
Yeah. And, you know, I see somebody across the street bought a brand new Mercedes. And I go, God, how's come I don't get it?
Right.
I want a brand new Mercedes. I want a brand new Harley.
Right.
And pool in my backyard and all that good stuff, you know, brand new computers and...
Right, where's mine?
Where's my new car?
Where's my stuff, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And I'm a Christian, and he's not a Christian, and he's making more money.
And you're blessing him more than me. What gives? I know many Christians have been there. I've been there myself before.
Church of Laodicea.
Yeah, they don't even worship you, Lord. They don't even believe in you. And look,
yeah,
they're buying homes, and they have all this stuff. And it's like, okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's, you know, I've heard preachers say that success is not a dirty word. Well, yeah, okay. I'll go along with that, especially a person that's been in serious poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have both been there. And it depends on what you call success. To me, success is giving God glory and winning souls. Okay? But I'm very skeptical about a Christian seeking after money. I really am, because it just doesn't seem like we've only got one life to live on this earth.
Yeah, but nobody wants to be poor, and people think of different reasons of how to get money. But I do want to go back to this. When I was talking about, people are saying that they were born this way, and this is not, I'm not sinning, I'm not doing anything wrong. But when you read the Holy Scriptures, and we are told exactly what sin is, we are all born into sin. We don't know which way we're going to go with that sin when we come into this world. But when you hear the truth,
resist the devil
and he will flee. And realize this, that sin, what is sin? Sin is anything you think, anything you say, anything you do that does not please God.
That's right.
Like he said, they did detestable things before him. He was not pleased at the creation he made of man.
I remember, you know, I can't read for long periods of time, so I use audio Bible. And I was listening to Jeremiah a while back, and he was talking about such awful things that the Israelites were doing. I had to turn it off.
Wow.
Enough's enough of that.
I got one for you.
What's that?
In Judaism, one common view of Lot's wife turning to salt was as punishment for disobeying the angels who told her to leave the city and not look back because it was going to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. But by looking back at the evil cities, she betrayed her secret longing for that way of life.
Right. And we all have
And
that.
She was deemed unworthy to be saved and thus was turned to a pillar of salt that is still there today.
That is God's example to us, that what we do in this world has eternal consequences.
Whoa.
We're talking about eternity. That's a long, long time.
Mm.
There's no time outside of this dimension. I mean, you know,
and look
time only exists in this world.
Right, right. And it's just a moment.
Yeah.
A moment in time, and it's over. You know.
Good.
And it's over. Like I read this morning when I woke up, don't even worry about what happened yesterday. It's a whole new day, and it has its own trials and tribulations, and good things are going to happen in this one day, so you don't have time to
dwell on the past.
And Lot's wife was punished. She was punished.
Yeah.
And that's what God, he left these stories, had these stories written, right? For our admonition and our learning, right?
Jesus said, put your hand to the plow and don't look back.
Oh, gosh.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
And I know it's not easy, though.
She had a secret longing in her heart. It had to have been in her heart, yet for that way of life.
Yeah. And she looked back like with a longing and saying, well, goodbye.
After she was told not to look back. So that's what God is saying to us. Don't look back. Do not look back on what you did yesterday. Today is a new day. And if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin, forget that stuff back there. You know, because it will not get you through the pearly gates, as we say.
Yeah.
It will not.
There's only one thing that will get us through the pearly gates, and that is the blood of Christ.
Right.
Because of grace.
Right. thank God for grace.
Yes.
Like they say, thank God for Jesus, you know, coming with grace. Because like you said earlier, no way could we obey and work, do the Ten Commandments.
Okay, a person needs to get saved then.
Yeah.
And we have Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay, then the next step is the outpouring of baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's something that a person needs to seek after. And somewhere along the line afterwards, and I've emphasized this a lot on this program, the song, I Surrender All. I surrender all. That means all, mostly what's going on in your heart, in your mind. You have to surrender that and say, okay, I'm giving this anger to you, Lord. I'm giving this bitterness to you. I'm giving this unrequited love. Whatever is bothering you, you know, give it to God. And when you are really, when you really do surrender, really and seriously and sincerely, surrender your heart to God is when you find out what you're supposed to do, what God's assignment for you is. If you're going to walk around with the attitude all your life and go, well, God just doesn't want to tell me anything. I mean, you know, you don't think God knows you're thinking that or, you know, following that path? Of course he does. For him to give you an assignment is a great privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that God's obligated to do.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
So in order to find out what you're really called to, which is what most people's problem is, they're unhappy because they never sought out from God the truth about what they're supposed to do. I have many stories I've heard where people got saved and there was this guy that was a big executive for Dow Chemical or Union Carbide or something like that. And he got saved. And the Lord wanted him to be a missionary on some island somewhere.
Right.
And he did it. He went there. He took his family with him. The natives killed all of his family. And he would sleep in their graves at night to keep them from digging him up. After 20, 30 years of being there, something like that, 25 years, the church bells were ringing. Almost all of those natives got saved.
Yeah.
And they were headhunters, bud. They were like those whales, you know, it was just in their nature to kill somebody, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is in man's nature.
Yeah.
Without God, we all be a terrible mess and have been.
And we still are.
And have, right, absolutely right. But, you know, like you said, once you're... you receive Christ and you're going to church and to Sunday school, you do read your Bible and pray and you do obey the word of God and you're out there witnessing to other people, telling them about how you were able to become a child of God, you know, and we can get caught up. But after we do those things, we're covered by the blood.
Yes.
Of Jesus. And it's a whole lot different than just being out there unprotected.
Yeah. You know, when I was with the Nazarenes, they have this thing called sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe you can go up to the altar and have the very nature of sin. In other words, the Adam sin that's down deep inside of us, it can be eradicated, they say. And you can be sanctified so that you don't sin anymore.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, it's a nice theory.
That's a good thought.
I can point out some people to you at that church that it didn't seem to work too good.
I can go to every church and find that. You know what I'm saying? Because we're still people.
You know, it's shocking the way people act sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I've shocked myself a couple times.
But I cannot believe some of the things they do, you know.
It has to become, you have to be... become determined.
Yeah.
It's a determination
as
that...
As you go along, you sin less.
Right, you do, and you realize this is not about me. This is bigger than me.
Yeah.
This is about eternity. This is about...
You're supposed to be concerned about others.
Yeah, and legacy I want to leave behind, how people see me. Or did they always see me as that old person that I was that wretch or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unsanctified person, didn't care if I nasty, hurt other
mean,
yeah,
cruel.
Didn't hurt other people or not. I'm out here stealing and you know, deceitful to other
yeah.
people and all that kind of stuff. You want people to remember you in a better light the
As
older you get.
Said. Satan dresses up and goes to church every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, if you haven't, it doesn't matter, right? It
Any
just doesn't matter.
Gets together.
But I do want to change the subject a little bit. I was watching the news earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and I heard that the president said that we were not going to war because we were low on weaponry. Have you heard that?
No.
That came out today.
Who said that?
Your president.
I know, but on what news?
What news was that? NBC, I think it was. Good morning, America.
We don't always get the right, we don't always get the truth from some of these.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I can't call them a liar because he was talking.
Yeah.
He was talking.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he was saying that we were low on weaponry. And they had someone else saying that.
I probably shouldn't say this.
What's that?
But a lot of times presidents will say things to throw off the enemy.
And I understand that too.
You know, say, we just don't have enough planes to take care of this and then send the planes off to combat the next day. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
I've heard them do that before. I've heard
and
them
it's a
do
smart
that.
Thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And I'm thinking, are we out of weapons? Are we low on armor?
No, President Trump has pretty much changed that. Remember, we had all these problems when he first got in office. We had all these planes that kept crashing. And I especially felt bad about some Harriers, I think, that they came down and they were hovering over an apartment building because they couldn't, they just had all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to set them down, but they did a lot of damage in that area. And then we had a C-130 that went down, I think in Texas, just all of a sudden went down, and you didn't hear nothing, a mayday or anything from the pilots because it happened so suddenly.
Right.
So we had a lot of problems with old equipment is
okay.
what it was. You
okay.
know, it was wore out.
Okay.
You can't have wore out equipment in aircraft. You know, it's just not going to work.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Especially military. You know, you get half of the military falling out of the sky before they get to their target, you know. So...
That's true.
So, President Trump has poured a lot of money back into the military.
I
have a tendency to think that he is trying to throw them off.
You think so?
Trump is very much like that.
Okay. Because what happened? I don't know. If...
Did I tell you the joke about Trump?
No, what? I want to hear this.
I appreciate this.
He says,
You know, I like Trump, but I got to tell a joke. He said that he wants to eventually send some astronauts to Mars. And when they get there, they'll have to build a wall. And
okay.
going to make the Martians pay for it.
Oh, okay. He himself said that, right?
No, it's just
I think he's hilarious. I like him myself. I mean, because he's just that kind of guy. You know, He throws
you don't
off.
Don't have to worry about interpreting what he's saying.
No, because he's very truthful.
Yeah, he just goes, listen, I don't think I like that very much.
Right.
You know?
He's very truthful.
Yeah.
Through the whole campaign he ran, he was very truthful.
He wasn't being very presidential at first. Maybe the first year and a half or so, he was cussing people out and not being...
Well, he really hasn't stopped. It depends. I mean, let's be real here. He really hasn't stopped.
I was kind of hoping he'd be a little more civilized about it, you know.
No, he is who he is.
I've really enjoyed his presidency. I think if it wasn't for him, we would have crashed already because...
Financially?
Yes, because unemployment was so high.
Mm-hmm.
And the military was horrible.
So high unemployment? Are you kidding me? It was already under 6% when he came in, unemployment.
I know. People were complaining they couldn't find a job.
Oh, my. And then the, yeah, so we'll just let that to rest. I did want to talk about atheists.
Oh, really?
And you know what they say?
What?
It's not that they are unbelievers in God. They're saying no. God, no, I'm not going to do what you say I should do.
Whoa, that's even
worse. I heard that. Yes.
That's so much worse.
I heard that. It's not that they don't believe in God. They're saying no to God.
Okay, so we're in the last days and they're madly in love with the Antichrist and they hate Christ.
Right. Because they're telling him, this is what you should do. This is the way you should go. You know, this is how you should do it. You know, you shouldn't hurt people, love people. No, God, no.
They think they have a better justice system.
Yeah, they do. Well, you once were atheist. Were you saying no, God? No to God?
No, I had convinced myself that there was no God.
There was no God. So what is that saying?
Because of all the terrible things that happen in the world. And that is what most atheists, that's their problem. It's like the Titanic has sunk.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have died. Where is God? You know.
Okay. So I guess you could say, in a way, you're saying no to God because of what the things that are going on.
Yeah,
you can't be real God.
If there is a God, why does he let people suffer like he does?
Right. You can't be real.
Right. Now, that is not an easy question to answer. Because for the first part of it is that God has given us free moral agency.
Right.
We can decide what we're going to do, but you got to understand we live in a real world.
Yes, we do.
And the things that we do and say have consequences. You know, and so they built the Titanic in such a way that, and they thought because of the watertight compartments, it couldn't sink. So they didn't build the rudder big enough and strong enough to make it turn, you know, quick enough to avoid the icebergs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up crashing into the iceberg. Now, the passengers, that's not their fault. They probably had no idea that that was going on, you know.
Right.
So it's best to be saved.
That's true. That's true.
Because you never know. It's like that girl that got killed by the whale. She didn't have the slightest idea that she thought that whale loved her. You know.
I remember that. They showed that on TV. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. That was like, wow. But she was like an ant out there next to that big, humongous whale.
12,000 pounds.
Why were you even out there? I just don't think so.
SeaWorld told her not to get in the water with him.
Oh.
Because he had already killed 3 people.
Right. He was a killer.
And
yeah.
You know, obviously he didn't like being a prisoner in the bathtub, you know.
That's not funny. We don't mean to laugh at that, but that's just unreal, isn't it?
The dorsal fin is, you know, flopped over.
Mm-hmm. He just kept her down there. I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember watching it. And what you going to do with this big old whale?
Some of the eyewitnesses said he tore off her arm at the shoulder and he scalped her. Is that horrible or
yes,
what?
Yes, that's horrible. I remember seeing that on TV
so
and I thought.
So atheists will point out stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, right.
So why does God allow that kind of stuff?
Mm.
Because we live in a real world.
Right.
And it has real consequences.
Mm-hmm.
What I say to the atheist is you ought to look at that and say to yourself, I need to be saved.
Right.
So that if something like that happens, or something like I wake up in the morning and I don't wake up in the morning.
Right.
I'm ready to go to heaven because my sins are forgiven through grace.
Right. So does that mean that we're in a fallen world, a fallen state in our world
in which we
live in?
But you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, this world, nothing would ever go right.
No, that's true. That's
true. Because
there's no right in us.
There's no right in the universe.
No.
The only reason all those planets go around the sun the way they're supposed to is because God created them to do that.
Yes. Yes, yes.
God created killer whales to do what?
Kill.
Like
the sun rises and sets every day,
would
right?
Would you have gotten in that?
I don't
big
think
pool
so.
With
no.
That great 12,000 pound
number
killer
one.
Whale?
Number one. I'm not water friendly, number one,
no,
okay?
Oh, you're not.
No. Not that much water, no. That's too much. And he's too big.
Yeah, way too big. Well, he was built to be a leader. See, and that's why he was killing, is because
that's what they
he's
do,
supposed
right?
to be the leader of a big pack of whales.
Right.
And here he is in this pool doing all the treating him like a little toy. And he's like, I don't think so. I believe if they would have opened the door and let him out, he would have been just fine.
It makes me think of Moby Dick. Was that a true story?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was fictional.
It was fictional? I always thought that was
Patrick
real.
Patrick Stewart made a Moby Dick movie.
Yeah. Gregory Peck played
Ahab. Yes, had, I remember that one.
Yeah, and had the peg leg. Oh, I know.
I used to watch those when I was a kid.
Yeah. It's been on not too long ago. Yes. Black and white movie. Gregory Peck played that movie. Yeah.
Well,
he plays it.
Actor.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Those
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One more thing.
Yes.
Misconception of who we are. Do you think we have the world today, or people in the world today, have an identity crisis?
Yeah, because, you know, you remember back when, and it was, you know, it was a long time ago, I guess, when Madeline Murray O'Hare got on Phil Donahue and said, the Christians shouldn't be teaching people that they're born into sin and they're horrible sinners. You know,
yeah.
They should realize that they're good to begin with. Really? And you haven't noticed all the horrible things going on in the world? Killing and wars and, you know, lying and cheating and stealing and on it goes. What? Well, if sin is the cause of that problem, what is? That's
mm-hmm.
what I would have asked.
Mm-hmm.
And their identity crisis is they will not look in the mirror, which is the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and admit that they've sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, that's the beginning of wisdom. But it's just the beginning. You got a lot to learn from there on.
Oh,
but at
yeah.
least you'd be born again. You're going the right direction.
That's true. That is so true. Wow. Here we are, another day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. I am glad. He said it's a beautiful day to be alive. Thank you.
Yes.
Many people did not rise and open up their eyes this morning.
That's right. I had a cousin who lived in Florida, and after I retired from the buses, I went to Florida to see her, stayed there for a few days, and came back. About 2 years later, she didn't wake up in the morning. I'm glad I went to visit her.
Good.
But I wasn't surprised, because she had a big drinking problem.
Did she?
Big smoking problem.
Right, right.
And but she had ordered up a vacation to go to Greece or something like that. And she, when they, you know, they come to your door in those vans, pick you up, but she didn't come out. So that's when they found out. She
wow.
was still in bed.
Believe it or not, we're out of time.
Again.
Thank you, Jeff Porter. We've had a exhilarating show today. Thank you, those of you who are listening to A Voice of a People. Thank you so much.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protest.